Well, we're in the Gospel of Matthew, and chapter 21, verse 1. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He's on his way to be crucified. This is like the last week of his life. And they had plans to put him to death. The Pharisees had been plotting to try to get rid of him because everybody was following after him. As a matter of fact, he had risen Lazarus from the dead, which is not in Matthew's Gospel. We're going through the Gospel of Matthew. He had risen Lazarus from the dead, and the crowds were all following after him, and people were getting so upset, the leaders were, because they wanted to keep the status quo. They wanted to keep things the way they were. But Jesus was upsetting the apple cart. He was upsetting their business. They had a way of doing things that really were oppressing the people, and Jesus was coming to set them free. So when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them,' and immediately he will send them." Well, in this passage of Scripture, I want to give a few things for you. First, I want you to learn some lessons from a colt. You know, maybe we can learn from a horse. Sometimes we learn from the behavior of animals. Sometimes it's better than the behavior of men. Sometimes we don't know how to behave. But I want you to see that your purpose in life is to bring glory to God. Your purpose in life is to bring glory to God. And if you find yourself in that purpose, all the other purposes will fall in their right places. When we put God out of the picture and we try to glorify ourselves, or we try to just live for ourselves, or whatever we're feeling in the moment, we are headed for a train wreck. But God is inviting us into a relationship with Him where He is first. He made us. He knows what will make us the happiest, what will satisfy us in the deepest places of our heart. That's why we need God. And so your main purpose in your life is to bring glory to God. You might say, "Well, that sounds selfish. That's not like God wants everything." He wants everything because He can give us everything. The closer I am in communion with God, the better everything runs. The farther away I am from God, the worse things will be. We're in a world today where people have decided they don't need God. And look at the mess we've made. Look at the heartache and the busted relationships and busted hearts, all because we have turned our back on God. And so now we're going to see what happens here. As Jesus is coming towards Jerusalem, there's a plan in place. A plan, divine plan, already organized. Before this ever happened, at some point, I don't know how much farther back, but probably maybe a year or maybe a half a year, three quarters of a year, I don't know. A little colt was born. A little baby colt was born. In all the scheme of things, in all the world, this one little colt was born to this one donkey. And this little colt was there, weaned, and was tied up with his mother on one particular day. You might say, "Well, so what?" I want you to understand how much God is in control. We're going to see that in this passage of Scripture. Here they are. They come to Bethphage, which was the house of figs. There was lots of fig trees around Bethphage. And it is just outside the outskirts of Jerusalem. It's almost considered the suburb of Jerusalem. And they're coming along, and Jesus sends two disciples ahead. And he gives them specific instructions. He says, say to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me." Now, how did Jesus know that? Pardon me? Okay, he knows everything. He knew exactly what was going on. It was planned. At some point, the owners had tied the colt and the donkey at that rail in this little village. And Jesus had not come there. He wasn't coming from there. He was going towards that place. And he said, "I want you to go over to that other village. And when you get over there, you're going to find a donkey tied and a colt. And I want you to loose them and bring them to me." But he didn't go and physically talk to them. Nor had he sent somebody to talk to them ahead of time. God was working in the minds of these people. Well, let's see what happens. It says this. if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. So he told them, listen, I don't want you to go and ask permission. I don't want you to go and say, excuse me, can I have this colt and this donkey? I want you to go and just go up to the colt, the donkey, untie them, and start walking away with them. Now, what does that sound like to you? Yeah. That's right. Doesn't it sound like stealing? Yeah. Right. And for anybody, generally, I'll tell you this. If God suddenly speaks into your mind to say, go down to the co-op store, throw a rock in and take some stuff out, it's not God, okay? Just letting you know, okay? You got your wires crossed. But here, it must have been quite a challenge for these two disciples to listen to Jesus, to leave him and walk over to this village. And I'm sure they were talking to one another. We're just going to go and we're just going to untie somebody else's animals and we're going to start walking away with them. That's what Jesus said to do. Well, I guess we should do what he says. Listen, whatever he says to you, do it. But make sure it's him, right? No confusion here. In this case, we are understanding something, that who actually owned the colt and the donkey? Jesus owned. He owns everything. There's no stealing from him, because it was him that wanted it. If the disciples decided, oh, I'd like to have a colt, and I'd like to have a donkey, I'm going to go and take it, and God's going to be happy with that. That wouldn't have worked, right? But Jesus owned all the cattle. The Bible says he owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills. Jesus owns everything. Jesus owns you. And when you begin to understand that he already owns you, that he owns the world and everything in it, line up with him. Wouldn't you want to have him in your corner? Wouldn't you want to have him on your side? Get right with God. Make sure that things are right between you and God, because that's what's going to matter at the end of the day. And I'll tell you, it's what's going to matter day by day. It's a wonderful thing to be able to begin to walk in life knowing that God is in control, and that even the circumstances that happen in my life, and sometimes we can get freaked by them. And I think it's a good thing for us to be considering, well, why did that happen? Why did this happen? Is there a reason for this? Because sometimes God brings discipline in our life for certain things that take place. Sometimes God's getting a message to us. Sometimes we're not listening. He uses circumstances. He can use anything he wants to speak to us. The trouble is, sometimes we're not listening. You do not live in a world of chance, my friend. You live in a world where God is on the throne and he is organizing all things. The animals go where God tells them to go. The only thing people that don't go where God tells them to go is us. But we can begin to line up with him and say, okay, God, I'm listening. I want to be found in the will of God. But these two disciples, they took quite a step to go to that village and to obey what they were told. And so they did go. And we're going to go to the next slide here. And this is in the Gospel of Mark 11:4. It's the same story, but it's in another gospel, because each gospel tells us a little bit more. And I just wanted to see the detail of it. So they went their way, and they found the colt tied by the door outside on the street, and they loosed it. Mark only talks about the colt. Matthew talks about the mama and the little one, both of them. And we'll see that. But some of those who stood there said to them, what are you doing loosing the colt? What do you think you're doing? Matter of fact, in the Gospel of Luke, it tells us the owners were the sum of them. The owners said, hey, what are you doing? You're untying my colt. And they spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded. What did they say? The master has need of them. The master has need of them. They carried with them an authority that came from Jesus Christ. And what had happened? So they let them go. They let them go. So these owners, who weren't necessarily believers in Jesus at all, they were just people who owned horses and colts. God can turn ahead in any direction he wants to. Do you know what it says in the book of Proverbs? The king's heart, listen, the king's heart is in the hands of the Lord. He turns it whatever direction he wishes, like rivers of water. Whatever, an atheist, God's still on the throne. Remember how the story goes at the birth of Jesus Christ, how the emperor of the whole Roman Empire makes a crazy decision to call a tax. Now, they were always calling taxes, but this was kind of a crazy decision, because he wanted all the people whose ancestry was from a certain village to have to travel back to the village they were originally from to get the tax done. So the whole Roman Empire was in an upheaval as everybody had to move back and forth all across the whole Roman Empire to satisfy the whims of a Roman emperor. But God was in control, because there was a woman who was in Nazareth who had to get, according to the Bible, Jesus had to be born in Bethlehem. So God puts it in the mind of this emperor to make a crazy decision like that. But in the end, what it ultimately does is it moves Mary and Joseph from Nazareth down to Bethlehem, so that Jesus was born in exactly the place he was prophesied to be. But God did it this way to show the world, I'm in control of the emperor's mind. I'm still in control. I can do whatever I wish. And so he controlled the colt. He had caused it so that this colt was born at just that time. We're going to see that this was predicted hundreds of years earlier, that this colt would be exactly in the right place at the right time. So I just want you to understand that God is in control and that your purpose is to serve him. The disciples were willing to obey God. They were willing to step out in faith and do something that was pretty bizarre. But they did it, and God was with them in it. If we can trust the Lord to do what he obviously has told us to do, which is to love him, put him first, and to love others, and to reach out in love to God and reach out in love to man. Isn't that what it's the two great commandments are? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the other one is to love your neighbor as yourself. To reach out in love. And that love carries the gospel to people. It carries the good news of Jesus Christ. You could feed a person all their lives, but if they die and go to hell, what's the point at the end of it? We feed them, but we want to encourage them to come to Jesus and to get to know him and enter into a love relationship with him, that they too can go into the world and love God and love others, because that's what you were made to do. And so God has a plan. Next slide. So they went their way. And Matthew 21:4 says this, all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Matthew 21:5, tell the daughter of Zion, Zion is Jerusalem, the people of Jerusalem, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. This was predicted hundreds of years before, and it happened exactly, was fulfilled on this day. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. So you can see that this was, the next slide will tell you, this is the verse in the Old Testament. It was written hundreds of years before. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Very clear, isn't it? Do you see how much God is in control? How divinely he's in control of the circumstances of life, that he arranges for this to happen, that colt was born and it was owned by those owners and it was in just the right place at just the right time for just the right purpose. Do you know that you were born for a purpose? Do you know that God has a plan for your life and it's a good plan, and that he has circumstances arranged in your life and all the things that happen to you, some of them are not so hot, some of them are good, some of them seem like wacko crazy, why is this happening to me? God is still on the throne and he's in control. And if you get lined up with him, you're going to begin to find yourself serving the Lord. You're going to begin to find yourself honoring God with what you do and who you are. Put him first. Put him first. In every way, put him first. Zechariah. Zechariah in the Old Testament. Yeah. Next slide. So they brought the donkey and the colt, and they laid their clothes on them and set him on them. Now, they didn't set Jesus on the two of them. Now, the colt was the young one, right? And then the mama was brought along. Now, there's probably a good reason for that, right? Do you know that this colt had never been ridden upon? One of the other gospels says this colt had never been ridden. Now, what happens if you go up to a colt that's never been ridden and decide you're going to sit on it? You better have insurance. That's right. You know, my mother, we had a horse at our house, at our place. Not in the house, but at our place. My father said he would winter a horse for somebody. We didn't really want to winter this horse, but my father said the old fellow wanted some place to put the horse for the winter, so we said, we'll take it. Now, we didn't have horses when we were growing up around the house at all. So horses were a new thing to have around. And my mother got it in her mind she was going to ride this horse. So, but she didn't want to tell my father anything about it because it was an old workhorse. He'd never probably been ridden at all. So, or if he had, very little. But anyway, my mother would go and she would pet the horse in the field and she would put a blanket on it. And she was doing all the things you were supposed to do until this one day she decided, okay, I'm going to ride it. So us small kids, we were around. I don't know how my mom was then. I suppose she must have been maybe in her 40s or so. So she gets the horse up alongside of this pile of lumber and she decides, I'm going to get on the horse. And what she does is, not realizing what she was dealing with, she kind of leaped on the horse's back. It wasn't like an easing on the horse's back. And that old workhorse went nuts. And he started bucking. She bucking and bucking. And all of a sudden, I was watching my mother. And up the horse went. And up my mother went. Up in the air. Up. And on the way back down, the horse kicked back with both feet. And the hoof of the horse got her right in the side of the head. And she fell to the ground. Not a movement. We all went running over. We thought she was dead. Thank God the horse wasn't shod, or she probably would have been. But it just caught like glancing blow and threw her head back, and she came to and she was all right. But you know what? She never rode a horse again. That's right, Leonard. My mama didn't do that. She didn't get back on. Well, you know, this colt had never been ridden. But they took the mama along, and that probably would have been a great consolation to the colt, because if you separate the mama from the colt and they had not yet weaned off, you'd have pandemonium. Now, Jesus could have arranged that. He could have had that colt leave the mama behind, but he was gracious. So the mama comes along with the colt. But then Jesus sits on that colt that had never been ridden, and there's no bucking going on here. Why? Because he's Lord. He owns it. He owns it. You know, God has chose to use that colt to bear him into Jerusalem, that lowly colt of a donkey, to bear him into Jerusalem so that others could see. Now, the Romans, when they came riding in, if they weren't going to come in and proclaim their kingship, do you think they'd come in on a donkey? No, they would come in on a horse. The horse that would represent war. The horse that would represent authority. And you know, in the last days, the picture that's given in the book of Revelation is that Jesus will come riding on a white horse. On a horse of victory. But here he comes. And that's why I said in Zechariah, it said, lowly, humble, riding on a donkey. He came in humility. But he still came as a king. He still came proclaiming his kingship and his lordship. But he chose to use that lowly donkey. And listen, friends, God chooses to use us, lowly people like us, to bring Jesus to the world. He chooses you. Humble ourselves. And you know what he has to do with us first? He has to break us from ourselves. Because normally, we wouldn't allow anybody to tell us what to do. We wouldn't want anybody to, we're in control of our own lives, like that colt would have been. But when Jesus sat on that colt, he was quiet. It says in the Psalms, don't be like the mule that has no understanding. We have to put a bit and bridle to try and make it go where it wants to go. Let's not be like that. Cooperate with God. Let him use you, just as he used this donkey on that day. Let him use you. Let your life be sold out, given over to him, yield it to him. Because when he's in control, oh, there's a sweetness in it all. And so the donkey and the colt were brought. And he sits on that colt that had never been ridden. And it was quiet. It was honoring Jesus Christ. It was for the glory of God. All of nature for God's glory, and we should be too. They laid their clothes on them and set them on them. So they put their coats on them. They took the shirt off their backs and put it on there so that Jesus would have a royal ride on his way in to Jerusalem. And then a great multitude spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down branches from trees and spread them on the road. This is where you get the idea of Palm Sunday. They took palms. In one of the other Gospels, it says they broke palm sheaves off and they spread road, and they put clothes on the road to make a royal carpet ride into the city of Jerusalem, giving the clothes off their back to the Savior that he might be honored and glorified. They were willing and desirous to glorify him. Next slide. So the multitudes went before and those who followed. You see, there was a huge crowd of people. This after he had raised Lazarus from the dead. So all the people from Bethany and all these other areas around had heard the news and had come running. And they were following following Jesus. And as they were coming into Jerusalem, there was a great multitude behind them. There's a great multitude in front of them. And here's Jesus. And this is what they began to cry out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." They began to praise God. The word Hosanna means this: save, Lord. Save, Lord. Save, God. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This was a prediction. Give me the next slide for a second. This is a prediction from Psalm 118:25. This was written maybe 700 years before. Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. This is a fulfilling of that very scripture. You can go back. And so the multitude were crying this out. They were crying it out. And they said, when he came to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this? Who is this man? What is it that he's doing here? This is amazing. How could all the crowd be crying out such things as this?" Because what they were saying is that this is the Messiah. This is the Savior. This is the one. This was Jesus' royal entry into Jerusalem. But he took that royal entry in a different way. As I said, he came riding. Will you be the donkey? Will you be the one who says, "Lord, Lord, I want to lift you up, not me. I want to lift you up. I want you to be glorified, Lord." Will your life be one where you're putting him first, where you're honoring Jesus Christ, where you're willing to present Jesus to the world? That's what that donkey did. Isn't that what he ended up doing? He ended up presenting Jesus to the world. Will you be like the disciples who were willing shirt off their back and lay it down so that Jesus would be glorified, that he would receive the honor? Listen, if you put God first, you don't have to worry about your part. You don't have to worry about your provision. You know what it says? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. We are so quick and so busy trying to pursue everything else, and we think that somehow, that if we don't put God first, we're going to miss. If we put the Lord first, we won't miss. We will find him to be more than enough. We will find him to be full of riches towards us in all that we need. We find that even in giving, and we've talked about this before. When you give to the Lord, sometimes you think, "Well, I can't afford to give to God." Listen, you can't afford not to. If you give to God, God will give back to you in so many ways, it's crazy. He'll make things last longer than they should. He'll do whatever needs to be done. But if you don't, you'll find things won't stay together at all. Put God first, and you will not lose. Put him behind second, and you will find you'll end up losing. Oh, friends, I tell you, God is good. God is powerful, and God is real. And he's more than able to meet every one of our needs. Because it's being taped, I see I got a battery problem here. So when he came to Jerusalem, the whole city was moved. This was a disconcerting thing. This was like, whoa, what's going on here? And matter of fact, we get the next slide. Next one after that. In Luke 19, verse 39, it says, some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples. Teacher, tell your disciples to stop saying these things." The crowd was calling it out. The children were crying out, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." They were honoring Jesus Christ. He says, "Tell them to stop this. This is no good." And Jesus said something very startling here. He answered and said to them, "I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. The rocks would cry out." What's he saying? He said, "Listen, I am going to be glorified. And if somebody doesn't glorify me, somebody's going to glorify me. Somebody's going to praise his name. Somebody's going to call him Lord. It'll either be you or me, or it's going to be a rock or tree. Somebody's going to praise his name. Somebody's going to praise the Lord." Well, listen, is it going to be you, or is it going to be somebody else? But God's going to fill his heaven with people. Are you going to be one of them? God's going to use people in powerful ways in this world. Are you going to be one of them? Are you going to be off in the corners? Are you going to miss what it is to be one who praises the Lord? Because somebody's going to praise his name. Before the rocks cry out, I'm going to praise him. I'm going to give him praise. And let me tell you something, the rocks do cry out. All of creation cries out to the glory of God, does it not? It's crying out all the time. The rocks testify of the power of a mighty God. But I want my lips to give him praise. I want to be one of the ones that's saying, save Lord. I want to be ones that says, behold Jesus Christ. Look at him. Look at him and live. Trust in Jesus. Come to Christ. I want to be one who stands to call to the world to the glory of God. I want to be a donkey for Jesus. I want to be a praiser and a worshiper of God. I want my lips to be used for their highest purpose, and that's to give glory to Jesus Christ. Do you? Oh, listen, he deserves the glory. Give him all the credit. Give him all the glory. Jesus said, if these were quiet, the rocks would cry out, because I will be praised. I will be glorified. I am the creator of the worlds. And I deserve to be praised. And he does, friends. And when you get to know him, you do not find him a hard, cruel taskmaster. You find him a God full of love and mercy and grace, and a God who watches over us, and a God who takes care of us. You were made to give glory to God. I think I might have mentioned this before, but you ever try to put a square peg in a round hole? It doesn't work. But you know, someone has said there's a vacuum inside of us that only God can fill. There's a shape inside of us that only God can fill. And when God comes in and fills, then there's completeness in your life. Without that, there's a huge hole. And people are always trying to fill that hole with everything else. They're trying to put the square peg in a round hole and it doesn't fit. But when we invite Christ in and he comes in, all of a sudden we're made whole. What we were meant to be. And we can begin to walk in where we're meant to walk, because God has a divine plan for you. In all the circumstances of your life, if you will look to the Lord and you will appreciate and understand, God has a reason for this. Is there a catastrophe in my life? God has a reason for it. Are things going smoothly? God has a reason for that. Why did that come into my life? Why did this circumstance happen over there? God has a reason for everything. Walk with the Lord. Trust him and be found to be one who gives glory to God. So the message I want to leave you with today is give God the glory with your whole life, with your possessions, because who owns your possessions? Jesus does, doesn't he? He owns them all. He owned those guys' colts, the colt and the donkey. He owned them. And he owns you, and he owns the rocks, and he owns your voice, and he owns your clothes, and he owns everything. Everything belongs to God. Give him the credit. Give him the glory. You won't be left out of the picture. The disciples didn't lose at the end of this day. In the end, the disciples became the emissaries of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the whole world. The Bible says they turned the world upside down. 12 simple men. Why? Because they were servants of the Most High God. Are you? Are you? Do you want to be? Say, yes, yes, Lord, let me be that donkey. Let me be those who would give the shirt off my back. Let me be the ones who cry out, glory to God. Let me not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. No matter who or no matter what goes on around me, I am going to be one who's going to give glory to the Lord by his strength and power. Let's pray. Dear God, we want to be your servants, Lord. If it means being a donkey for you, Lord, then that's okay. If it means being an ass for you, that's okay. Lord, whatever. We just want to be your servants. If it's only a cog, a small cog, and a great piece of machinery, Lord, without that cog, the machinery falls apart. We were meant to serve you. Make us your servants, God. We're willing. Lord, we're saying to you, you can have our donkeys. You can have our houses, our lands, our possessions, our hearts, our lives, our children, our wives. Everything we give to you, God, because we can trust you with them, that you'll do the right thing. You're a good God and you love us. Lord, if we need taming, tame us. Do whatever you need to do, that we'll be giving you all the glory with all of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.